Hi, good morning, Athens. It's 9:09 almost. And it's the fifth day of September. Hope you had a good Labor Day. We got a special dish edition today. We're going to learn more about recycling. We talked about medical recycling recently, and that's still going on, a big effort. I'm going through my garage this afternoon, up in the attic, to pull all that stuff out and get it over so others can use it. But today, our topic is plastics. And joining us, once again, Melina Miller. And we add to the mix, Melanie Smith. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Good morning
to each of you. And let's see here. So plastics, you know, sustainability, all that sort of thing. And you know, Melina, we've got another show coming up, I think, maybe. Anyway, to talk with yet another area of recycling. But in the meantime, these medical waste things, and it is, I don't want to call it waste, but this medical equipment that can be recycled and all of that. Once again, we're encouraging people to gather that stuff up rather than having it sit in a garage or a storage spot or whatever, and get it where other people can use it.
Well, they can. Your listening audience can bring their medical, used or new medical supplies and equipment this coming Saturday, September 9th, from 10 until 2 o'clock at the Athens Community Center, and donate their
items. I had heard it was going to be in front of the pool.
In front of the pool.
Yeah.
And the pool will be closed by then. So we'll be accepting those items from you, giving them back to people, redistributing them in the community. And then the surplus will go through our only humanitarian organization, and that's MedWish International in Cleveland, and they ship things overseas. They've been doing that for 35 years to clinics and hospitals in need. But our main goal is to get it back into southeastern Ohio counties, and we're doing a lot of that. So please bring us your items this coming Saturday. But so we've you know, I'm also a member of the Athens Rethink Plastics group. We've been around for about 4 years, and so Melanie and I are just two of our six members, and we've been doing a lot of really active work with plastic.
I don't think I have any plastic. But, no, I mean, whether we like it or not, it's huge, you know, the number of things. And one of the things the city did recently was, and maybe it wasn't the city, but rather than having these plastic bags at grocery stores and all sorts of places, they've said we want to do away with that by a certain date. Wasn't it the first of the year, this coming January 1st?
It's January 1st, 2024.
2024, yeah. So that's this coming January,
yes,
right.
Yes, and Dave, we recognize that some plastics are necessary, such as those in medical equipment, mm-hmm, and cars, but the leading plastic products are single-use plastic bags.
Yeah.
Then bottles, and then packaging materials. And they're the most common items in river, roadside, and beach cleanups. And so May 1st, Athens City Council, spearheaded by Alan Swank, mm-hmm, and with help from Athens Rethink Plastics, were able to pass the ban on single-use plastic bags within Athens City limits for stores and vendors.
Now, I have inside a little sort of closet in my kitchen, a place that when I got one of those bags from the grocery store or wherever it may have been, I would stuff it in there, and then I would pull them back out and use them again. But golly, the volume of bags, it was overwhelming.
Exactly.
And so my neighbor, you just mentioned the member of council.
Alan,
yes. My neighbor Alan has been interested in this topic, but, you know, back, 30 years ago when I was on city council, we were kind of concerned about some of that stuff. Anyway, now, by the first of the year, those are not supposed to be used to, or by businesses such as grocery stores and so on in Athens. They're doing away with that. And so many stores have been handing out these, what would you call them? They're not reused. Well, they could be reused, but the point is they're meant to be reused daily.
Right.
And they're like a big shopping bag, and they're made of heavier materials.
Right.
And they have handles and all that sort of thing. And so now we have a collection of maybe a half dozen or so of those. Well, that's okay. So rethinking plastics now. You mentioned beverages.
Excuse me, David, I just wanted to say, you know, one of the main reasons for this thrust, and this is not just here in the city of Athens, of course, this is nationwide, it's globally. You know, other countries are no longer taking our supposedly called recyclables. They've discontinued that in China, in India, Sri Lanka. So we are stuck with all the plastic products that we generate. And plastic bags are, they account for...
Well, single-use plastics account for 41% of plastic waste. So we could get rid of single-use plastic waste and stop pollution.
And it doesn't disintegrate. You know, it goes into our landfills, our streams, our oceans, what have you, but it never goes away, Dave. It's made of petroleum-based products, so it just never disintegrates. It's not a sustainable way of life.
Yes, plastic is forever. It doesn't decompose. It degrades and breaks down into smaller and smaller pieces, eventually to what's called microplastics. And microplastics are in the food, water, and in the air, and we eat a credit card worth of plastic a week. Microplastics is found in all our body organs, liver, lungs, gut, and even in breast milk.
Now, okay, so I think Athens has a remarkable recycling effort. And it's not a new thing. It's been around a long time. We were one of the earliest communities and leaders in that area, if you will. And I've known some of the people that have been the head of that effort. Now,
unfortunately, Dave, the plastic bags can't be added to our recycling. They jam up the recycling machinery, so we cannot add plastic bags to our recycling.
Oh, I get that, but I wanted to talk about like plastic bottles. You know, you we have in my home gone to using. If we get a soft drink package, we'll get the cans.
Great.
Which are basically aluminum, right?
Yes.
And then, but still, you know, now if you're buying a 2-liter bottle, that generally is going to be a plastic bottle.
Correct.
And it is recyclable. But there's an effort to try to limit that stuff too, right?
Well, plastic bottles, they're a beast of their own. I think what we're trying to attempt right now is the single-use plastic bags. For example, 2 years ago, Canada, the whole nation, banned single-use plastic bags. So everybody brings their own tote bags, cotton.
Tote bag, that's the term
yeah,
I was
cotton
looking for.
Or whatever they can reuse with, and they bring it to the store rather than the store supplying them with bags. And they've gotten that to be a part of their lifestyle. This year, I was up in Nova Scotia, and they've banned single-use plastics. Well, that's an ongoing work of art, basically.
Yeah.
It's a struggle, and we're all learning how to do this. But for now, as of May 1st, with the ban for January 1st, 2024, we're really looking to stop the first most offensive piece of plastic is a single-use plastic bag.
Righto.
It's not recyclable.
Righto. I get it. With one tiny exception, and I don't hate to be gross, but dog waste. You know what I mean?
But, you know, I have a dog, and I don't use plastic bags yeah. with my dog.
Okay.
I use newspaper.
Yeah.
I use, I keep my, you know, every time you buy, there's a lot of things you can buy, like pastries or whatever. They give you these little paper bags, and most people just throw them away. But I keep them just like people keep their plastic bags, and then I use them, and, you know, so it can be done. Mm-hmm. I mean, it can be done with other things.
Of course.
You know, so.
So there's a thing called the Sierra Club, right?
Correct.
Now, and I hope I'm not embarrassing anyone. I've not heard that name too often in that sense, the Sierra Club. So is this a local thing, a national thing, a state thing? What is it?
I've been a member of the Sierra Club since 2003. It's a national movement
really?
To conserve our environment and our animals. The Sierra Club Ohio does have a branch that works with pollution, and it's with the water and plastics and many other things that cause pollution.
Yeah.
So they've been involved and have provided us with some funding to help promote our plastic-free January 1st ban on single-use plastics. The Sierra Club has also helped us obtain several opportunities for people in poverty. For example, we are giving out tote bags, cotton tote bags, mm-hmm. to food pantries, and we use reusable bags that we've cleaned that people have excess of that we collect at the farmers market. We use those for food pantries. We're also going to give the tote bags out to free lunches. So people that can't afford to buy a bag or get a cotton bag, they're going to have access to cotton bags through our efforts in the Sierra Club. Sierra Club has also funded us with our films. We're going to be showing Microplastic Madness at the with the Sustainability Film Series at 7 p.m. at the Ridges Auditorium, 135 Ridges Circle, and that's going to be September 27th, and it's called Microplastics Madness, September 27th, up at the Ridges Auditorium.
Yeah, and that's p.m. and that's a free film. It's made predominantly by children. It's going to be, I've seen the trailer. It's really, it's very catchy. It's very terrific.
Bunch of fifth graders, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I think everybody in the community is going to want to get up there. It's free. It's just, it's going to be a really revealing kind of and fun film. So I encourage people to attend.
Yes, I'm anxious to watch this eye-opening film and see what these 56 public school children did to reduce plastics in their school.
Now, you know, the Athena Theater uptown, because of some structural issues, it's not open to the public these days.
No, that's why it's up at the Ridges.
And at the Ridges, now as you, where is this auditorium? Is that
when you're going on 682, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going up that entrance, basically across the Hocking River. Yeah, and it's right to your right.
I know now exactly where you mean.
Yeah.
And,
so, and that auditorium, of course, has been there for decades.
Right.
We used to perform there, my band and I, back in the 70s.
Yeah.
So. And there are a lot of good uses made of that auditorium, but this is a terrific opportunity for all of us.
Well, the actual physical address, folks, is 135 Ridges Circle.
Right.
And that's up with the Ridges, the former mental health facility, and now university operated. With all sorts of things up there. The Copperhead's office used to be up there even.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay, so this is...
September 27th.
Yeah.
Put a plug in for that.
7 p.m.
7 p.m.
at the Ridges Auditorium.
Thank you.
And Microplastic Madness, they're calling the whole event. And then they're showing this film, which is... let's see here. Oh, I'm reading this. This is 56 fifth graders from a private school in Brooklyn, Red Hook, Brooklyn, to be exact. This is the story of what they did to stop or help replace these single-use bags, right?
Mm-hmm. And single-use plastics in the school.
Yeah, neat. All right, now, but locally, folks, I think this is, as I understand, it's a very interesting film. So we encourage you to take this in. Once again, we're talking about September 27th. What day of the week is that?
I think it's a Wednesday.
Okay, so a Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. In September, and September 27th.
Yes, it's a Wednesday, September 27th.
Yeah. All right. And there's no charge for that. You just go and learn and enjoy. Other efforts that are underway to do away with, to properly recycle plastics and do away with those that don't recycle well. Okay, so let's see here. Now, the Sierra Grant, the Sierra Club, has helped fund some of this, right? Here in our region?
They have given us some grant funding over the past two or three years, and we continue to apply for that. We are, perhaps it's surprising to your audience, and maybe it's not, but Little Athens, Ohio, and Athens County has been really the shining star in the Ohio Sierra Club's cap, because we have shown more effort here in reducing our uses of plastic and plastic products, and this new ordinance coming on board, and in trying to work with, we are really genuinely trying to work and support our local businesses in helping them to make this transition, and those kinds of educational pieces to schools and other groups in the community. And the Ohio Sierra Club has said that, you know, they're not seeing this effort as large as we are doing, even in some of the bigger cities. Mm-hmm. So they're very proud of us. They continue to support us in our efforts. And we, in turn, are working with businesses to help them. Melanie showed you a vinyl sticker today that we've had. Now, this again is with Sierra Club grant funding, but we've made some rather large metal signs like that sticker, and then smaller 3-inch and 6-inch in diameter stickers that people can put on their businesses to encourage people. It's a BYOB sticker. It's bring your own bag, to encourage people. Because once you get into this, you do it. You just start doing it naturally. I mean, you know, before the 1950s, before the 1960s, we didn't have plastic bags. They just simply didn't exist. Mm-hmm. So what did people do then? You know, I mean, it's
paper bags. Imagine that.
One of the things I'd like to point out is that plastic recycling is a false solution. There was a letter in the paper from the American Recyclable Plastic Bag Industry from Washington, D.C., saying that it may not be possible to not ban the single-use plastic bags. Well, that's not a real truth. We can stop using, we can refuse, we can say no to plastic bags, we can bring our own bags. We don't have to, in the future, start using plastic straws or plastic utensils. There's a lot of other, go back to when we never had this reusable plastic or single-use plastic. Leading experts in the field agree that recycling is not the answer to plastic pollution. The reason, because plastic pollution is so terrible, is because plastics are made of toxic compounds and toxic chemical additives. In the United States, we add 10,787 toxic chemicals into our plastics, and they make up half the weight of plastics. So when you recycle plastic, what you're doing is you're also recycling these toxic chemicals. And what's wrong with these toxic chemicals is that plastic researchers and epidemiologists have been finding that they're causing a lot of problems. The plastic chemicals are known to be, some of them are known to be carcinogens. In other words, they cause cancer. We banned BPA plastic added to plastics out of children's baby bottles and their toys. But there's, BPA is still here, and so are BPA and phthalates. They're carcinogens, they're endocrine disruptors, and they've been causing various problems in our population. And I'll give you an example of these problems that these plastic chemicals are causing. And this is research over 30 years. This is scientific research. Infertility in men and women, low sperm count, breast cancers, prostate cancers, neurological disorders in children, including ADHD and autism. We have tried to replace BPA with BPS and BPF, and we've been finding that they're just as dangerous, these chemicals added to plastics. So the plastic industry is pushing single-use plastic bags because that's what they want to do. They want to support the fossil fuel industry, which is changing from gasoline and cars to petroleum products and plastics, because plastics are made from petroleum. Plastics are made from the fossil fuel industry. So we need to start being aware that plastic recycling is a false solution. It doesn't work. The burning of plastic puts off toxic fumes. Think of the time of East Palestine, Ohio, when the vinyl chloride was exposed in the air during the burning of the train derailment. Plastic vinyl chloride is a product of PVC pipes. We can't get rid of all plastics, obviously, but what we're stressing is single-use plastics. We don't need them. We could refuse them. We could say no to plastic bags. We can refill. We can use reusable water bottles and travel mugs. And we can repair and reuse clothes and furniture and use natural products.
Before we became conscious of all of this stuff, and what I mean is recent, like, I saw a figure that said that the average person, no, maybe the average household, would use 760 plastic, those one single-use bags, annually. That's an amazing, you know, figure. But when you think about it, golly, I think I could have done that, you know?
Well, I don't know about that figure, but I know that that is the figure for sure, that, you know, we've been making these, we've been utilizing used grain bags and seed and feed bags and making them, sewing them into, now we're still dealing with vinyl plastic, but rather than throw them away, we've been cleaning them thoroughly, cutting them, stitching them, and making them into really durable and reusable shopping bags. Mm-hmm. And we've had many, we've been in front of Siemens and Big Lots, and we've given them out at food pantries and many other places. And those bags are known to be reused and take the place of about 760 to 790 single-use plastic bags. So we've eliminated, by using one of those shopping bags, you have eliminated the use of, and maybe that's true, that that's how many people are using in a year's time. But it's enormous. I mean, the volume of them is enormous. And unfortunately, like Mel said earlier, people don't realize that they are non-recyclable. They do not degrade. So a lot of people put their recyclables inside a plastic bag and then throw them in the recycling bin. Well, all of that goes into the trash. It's all going into the landfill because the equipment at our on Poston Road at the recycling center cannot separate the recyclables out of those plastic bags. So we encourage people time and again, you know, not to do that.
Yes. One single-use plastic bag is used for 12 minutes in its lifetime, but a reusable bag can replace one single-use plastic bag up to 700 times or more. I've had my upcycled feed and seed bags for 10 years, and we've given out over 1,000 upcycled feed and seed bags from Athens Rethink Plastics. We even have sewing bees quarterly to help make these bags. And we give them out to people. Anyone who needs them, we have them for them.
And a lot of that takes place at our farmers market, right?
Correct. We do go to stores. We've been to Siemens and Big Lots, and we put a sign at Ace Hardware.
We'll be at the Pawpaw Festival.
Which is coming right up.
Coming right up, the 15th, 16th, 17th of September.
Yeah. Lake Snowden, folks.
At Lake Snowden, and we're going to have a booth there with the Sierra Club. This is our third year. Is that right, Mel?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And but we're trying to make a difference. And I think that maybe what we'd like to emphasize with you and your listeners, Dave, is the educational piece and the support that we've tried to give to the community and to businesses. We've been interviewing businesses, our group, Athens Rethink Plastics, for several years now. So this should come as no surprise. We have done extensive interviews. In fact, some OU students, media students, recently did 4 videos, and one of them was strictly about the business community here, where they interviewed businesses and filmed them about their uses or non-uses of plastic bags. And we've gathered an enormous amount of information from retailers here and shop owners.
Sure.
Yes, I would encourage the public to check out our Facebook page. It's Athens Rethink, Rethink Plastics. So it's Athens Rethinks Plastics.
And Rethink or Rethinks?
Rethink, sorry. Athens
so singular.
Rethink Plastics,
yeah, okay,
with plastic plural. Hmm. And it's on our Facebook page. This has our this Facebook page has our videos on them. If you go down the Facebook pages, you'll see what we've done in the community, and we take pictures. We've got a fantastic photographer that reports on photography. I can't say. I'm tongue-tied.
Chronicles
all our events.
76 degrees now here on Columbus Road. When we started the show just 30 minutes ago, it was 70. It's rapidly getting up there, and they say it's going to top out at 94 degrees around 3 o'clock this afternoon. Then it'll start to drop maybe around 5 or 6. Okay, but any way you look at it, it's going to be a hot day, folks. Be careful.
That's a great little reminder that you've just given us about the weather.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to shoot off of that and remind people that when you hear encouragement not to leave your plastic water bottles inside your car, it's so vitally important, because these bottles have, all of these plastics have plasticizers in them. And these plasticizers are many of the chemicals Melanie was talking about. And what happens when they heat up is that they migrate. They migrate out of those bottles and everything else. And so if you remember, Dave,
wait a minute.
Yeah.
I drove to work today.
Uh-huh.
And on the floor in the back seat is a was a flavored water, but mm-hmm. half a container full of that. Mm-hmm. And that's a bad thing?
Well, if it's been in a heated car, I wouldn't drink it. I'd throw it out.
Really?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Sheryl Crow is a breast cancer survivor,
yeah,
and as am I. And she insists that on her musical tours, she got breast cancers from the BPAs in plastic bottles that she had while she was touring.
Well,
I mean, it's hard to pin these things down, obviously, and say, but wouldn't it be better to be proactive? And I mean, we already know scientifically, the petroleum industry knows this. In fact, they have said, as the car sales have switched over more and more to hybrids and to EV cars, they have recognized globally that their new focus is on plastics. That's the new oil for them. That's the new gas for them. You know, the less money they make from the sale of gasoline-powered vehicles, the more they can throw into building and making everything out of plastic.
Yes, a new factory, plastic factory, was opened up 30 miles south of Pittsburgh, and it makes plastics, and from there, they are distributed throughout the world. The plastics are in their virgin state called nurdles, but they're using the
What was it called?
Nurdles.
Okay.
Nurdles. They use, so these little plastic nurdles are shipped throughout the world, and they make plastic.
So they melt them down and shape them.
Right, correct.
Okay, I get
correct.
It now.
And the problem is that the nurdles can spill in the water. Also, as they're making these plastics, they're a frontline community. They're the people that live around these factories or plastic-making factories. They're exposed to the fumes. And we can't forget how bad the fumes are when you're making plastics, or how bad plastics are when they get into the water.
Okay. I'm not arguing at all. I mean, I'm all for this. But I'm looking around the studio here. In front of me, I have knobs and slider switches and everything, and they're made out of plastic. I have computers left and right, and, of course, most of the components there are plastic, and the keyboards, and then my headphones that I'm wearing, the microphone that I'm speaking into, the covers are a plastic stuff.
Yes, and those are reusable plastics. Those are reusable. They're not being, for example, the reusable.
No, I get that.
The reusable plastics are important, you know, still in medical equipment and everything we have. But what we're focusing on today is that 41% of plastics are single-use plastics.
41%.
And when it comes to single-use plastic bags, which we don't need, or plastic bottles, which eventually I think are going to be reusable, made more reusable, and also we don't need, you know, if you go into the store, all your food is packaged in plastic. You know, it used to be we never had plastic surrounding our meat. We could get it from the deli with brown paper. Just look at everything. I went to get organic ginger root, and it was wrapped in plastic. The plastic, unfortunately, like, for example, when you put food in a microwave in plastic, that microwave heat causes the plastic to leach chemicals into your food. So you are literally eating not only the plastics, but if you keep reusing that single-use plastic, it's also the plastics are breaking down and also getting into our bodies through the environment.
And this is something we can all do something about in our communities. I mean, when I go back in the recording industry, and I go back a long ways, I mean, before television sets and computers and all this hard plastic, we had recording equipment that was, you know, there weren't these vinyl cords. They were all made out of rubber, and you had a lot of metal. And that segued, as soon as Mr. Bakelite, you know, came after World War II with his Bakelite products, hard plastics began to be manufactured on the upswing. I mean, such volumes and such rapidity. It's incredible when you think of all the stuff that, you know, we make out of hard plastic. But these products do not, they're much more, they contain the chemicals that are in those plastics much more thoroughly than the kinds of products Mel's talking about, these single-use plastic bags and bottles. And these are things that are really easy for us to refuse. And we have to tell the industries, you know, the problem can't be, the onus of this cannot be on all of the consumers' shoulders and the retailers' shoulders. It has to come from the manufacturers, and only with a lot of pressure. And the way you just do it is you quit using them. And when their sales decrease, and there are so many businesses right here in Athens, restaurants and groceries and other dealers and retailers who do not give out a plastic bag. They simply don't. I could name a whole long list of them, an arm's length long. We've interviewed them, and I think you probably have shopped at some of those places. So, you know, Kroger has had this on their sustainability program for years now, that they said by 2025 they're going to do away with all. They are the largest, single most largest grocer in the entire planet, and they go by different names. Many of their stores out in the state of Washington, all of those stores that aren't by the Kroger name but are owned by Kroger, they've done away with all plastics. They simply don't give them out. So it can be done, Dave. It can be.
Well, remarkable. What's the medical industry's reaction to this concept?
Well, I gave a lecture, continuing education lecture, to the Ohio Nurses Association to healthcare workers because I'm a former nurse practitioner. And one of the things that got me involved with Athens Rethink Plastic was that there were four nurses on our mobile medical unit. We were drinking out of plastic water bottles, and we all came down with breast cancer, estrogen-dependent breast cancers. And I never thought of anything, you know, any link or anything like that. But then I got involved. I was doing the breast and cervical cancer program, and I found that the breast cancer prevention partners are actually doing public policies and laws against BPAs and phthalates and things that are in our personal care products and in our everyday food packaging. And so I thought, well, you know, there's something, there's a link to this. And sure enough, I found a link, and I went through this. It's breastcancerpreventionpartners.org, and I have promoted this during Breast Cancer Month. To be, for women especially, it used to be 1 in 22 breast cancers. Now it's 1 in 7. So something's going on. And also our infertility rates of men and women and low sperm count have gone up by 50% for men. There's estrogen that's they're absorbing through plastics and phthalates. So we've got to start being aware of some of these chemicals that we're not being told about. There's a lot of greenwashing going on out there, and we need to be aware of that.
Greenwashing. Did I hear that right?
Yes. That's like, for example, saying that the arrows, look at the arrows on your recycling,
okay,
you know, and try to figure out where to put this. It's a way of the plastic industry saying, oh, you people, you can recycle. We're just going to keep putting up plastic and you can recycle it. But it's not recyclable. That's the thing. Only 9% in 2021 of plastics ever made were recycled.
Okay, let's try a different angle. And we, the three of us may not know the answer to this, but we'll try it anyway.
Yes, we will.
So weekly, I fill up that city blue container with the flip lid, that your recycling container.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it has wheels, and I roll it out, and they collect it. How much of that stuff do they actually keep?
Well, you know, this is a learning journey for all of us. We're not saying that we haven't been, we've been looking at this for over 3 years, and it's a learning journey for all of us. For example, when we recycle, we should recycle all paper products, cardboard, glass, metal, aluminum. Those are recyclable. Yes.
I'm putting that in there.
Yeah. But if you put a plastic bag in there, it jams the machinery because it's not recyclable.
Well, I don't put, the single-use bags. I don't do that in there. I do put some other plastics, jugs, and that sort of thing.
Generally, it's just 1 in 2 plastics that can be recycled. There's a lot of, if you notice the numbers.
Numbers 1 and 2. So sometimes you'll see all the way up to 7, 8, 9 at the bottom of your plastic container, whatever it is that you're using. So if it's a 1 and a 2, they can be melted down or recycled and made into something else.
Okay.
It's not desirable because it's only going to happen once. The life of that, of the components of those plastic products, whether they're soft or hard plastics, they're never going to be able to be melted down and reused more than once. But nonetheless, our facility out in Poston Road, if people haven't been out there to see that facility, and you can take call and make an effort to take a group on a tour. I mean, those conveyor belts, and I mean, they really have, for this small community, for any community, we have a pretty sophisticated process going on out there.
Right.
And with our Athens Hocking Recycling Center. And so they do separate out the one, numbers one and two, and they do ship them off to be made into something else. The others, they do also ship off the success of what other higher numbers, and what's being done with those plastics is really negligible. None of us really know for sure, but I think it's better to put them in that recycling bin and let our recycling folks, who are as most expert as we can be in this community or any place else, deal with them, as opposed to, well, I mean, what else are you going to do? You're going to I can assure you they don't go in the landfill unless you're putting them in your garbage can, you know. That's not happening here.
Yes, and a lot of people who aren't recycling are putting plastics into their garbage, and that's going into the landfills. That's the other problem, is we're not going to have enough space. We're over capacity in our landfills. We cannot keep putting our garbage in our landfills here locally or nationally, and we can't keep shipping off all our garbage plastic to Indonesia so they can land in the waters.
Well, they're
there.
Not taking it.
They're not taking anymore. Other countries are refusing our plastics anymore. So it's one of the other alternatives that they're talking about is chemical recycling and also burning. If you burn plastics, you put off toxic fumes, just like the PVC that was burned in the vinyl chloride that makes PVC pipes in East Palestine, Ohio. One in four people, if they inhaled those fumes, it's a carcinogenic fume. So you have to be very, very careful. You can't burn plastics. And chemically recycling makes the chemicals in plastics are so toxic that if you reuse plastics, like, for example, in clothing, you know, when they say reusable, plastic was used in this, there's chemicals in that. I would not wear recycled clothing because of the chemicals touching my body.
You know, Dave, when people, I know your listeners are listening to all of this mumbo jumbo, a lot of it, or thinking it's mumbo jumbo. And we think it's mumbo jumbo sometimes too. But that's because it comes to us from this massive, massive corporate petroleum industry, which has been left. And do we need oil and gas? Obviously, we do. Sure. I mean, I'm not criticizing the petroleum industry for the great things that we are benefiting from, but they know. They know the chemical compounds. And in fact, they are the only ones who know the chemical compounds that go into these plastics. I worked for a big manufacturer in California for a long time, and we made all kinds of vinyl products, everything. And that's where I first learned years ago in the 70s and 80s about how these plasticizers migrate when they're heated up. And a lot of these products, well, was the waterbed industry. So, of course, they were heating up. I mean, you have vinyl water mattresses and so forth. But I learned this about everything we make. And are they dangerous? Yes, they are. How can we as consumers do our best job to protect ourselves? You know, buy things in glass containers. Buy things in aluminum containers and so forth. And from all of our interviews, I'm going to tell you, Dave, we interviewed so many businesses in this community, and they know what they pay for the bags and the paper and what have you that they use to package your purchases as you go out the door. And they have said to us repeatedly, it costs them no more to buy a cardboard to-go box than it does a styrofoam one. The difference being that cardboard is going to completely disintegrate in a landfill.
You know, you just mentioned something that has been troubling to me, styrofoam. Okay, the other day I replaced a broken air compressor from one of our local hardware stores. Well, half of it was packaged in styrofoam.
Right. Yep.
And, you know, I've heard over and over, styrofoam cannot be recycled.
It cannot be recycled. It's one of the most toxic plastic waste products. And you'll notice that people are demanding paper packaging. They're demanding paper wrapping and tissue paper in their packages rather than styrofoam. Cardboard can be replaced by styrofoam.
Styrofoam can be replaced.
But I mean, think of the styrofoam cups, you know, for coffee.
Yes,
and for
that is, you know, you have a cup of tea in a styrofoam cup, and that causes the tannic acids in the tea will bind to the chemicals in the plastic and the styrofoam. So do not drink out of styrofoam
cups. Get yourself a canteen or a metal canister to drink from or a glass container to drink from and use it over and over again.
I have this here. I'm holding it up. People, you can't see it, but it's a coffee cup that I've had for 10 years for portable purposes. Now, there's still... All of this is plastic. Yeah. This is plastic. I'm betting between the metal walls of the container itself is styrofoam.
Well, let me feel that. I'm thinking that some of it might be rubber and not plastic.
And also, this is reusable plastic. We're not talking about non-reusable plastic. We're talking about single-use plastics, Dave.
Okay, so all of these grips on the side and the bottom of this is all rubber. Mm-hmm. That's rubber. This handle is plastic. You're right. But this is... This is metal inside here.
But I mean, I'm just
right.
I'm just being silly. The point is,
it's also stainless steel on the inside, Dave. So you're protecting yourself from the heat of your coffee or tea.
Yeah, you are.
Here, I'll do that.
I don't want to break it after 10 years.
you didn't put any chemicals in there, right?
No, I didn't.
Okay, her hands are clean.
Okay. I'm a nurse. I was washing
there
my
you
hands.
Go. Well, once again, folks, let's recap a couple things. First of all, a week or two ago, we had a show about the medical equipment. This coming Saturday, September 9th, from 10 to 2, and it's in the vicinity of the community center, but I think they're doing it in front of the pool.
They are, yes.
They're collecting medical supplies and equipment. In my attic of my garage, I've got a wheelchair. I've got a shower stool. Mm-hmm. I've got a cane that has four legs on the bottom.
Yeah.
I've got – why am I telling all this? We have a bunch of stuff.
You're going to recycle it for the MedWish.
Absolutely.
Yes, great.
So we're going to be putting that together and taking that over to your event. We also have, what's the name of that secondhand store behind the mall?
Oh, well, there are several secondhand stores. Behind the mall is Little Fit.
That's the
Little
one I'm thinking.
Little Wings.
Yeah. And, you know, she's very proud of sending things to the Ukraine and so on. And they've been doing a lot of medical stuff there. There's all sorts of efforts you can get
involved. Well, they get their medical things from us. That's
cool.
From Rural Action Zero Waste Program. That's how that's worked.
Yes, I noticed they're also having it. They're sending another donation to Ukraine. So if you have anything, they have a list on Facebook. Please keep a note of that as well and bring it over.
Then, on, September 27th, we mentioned this earlier, there's a Microplastic Madness event. It's going to be at the Ridges in the auditorium, which the address is 135 Ridges Circle. This is a free event. It's, is it at noon or what?
Let's see. 7 p.m.
7 p.m., okay. And this is a film that, if I'm not mistaken, was made by local folks.
No. It's made by children in New York in the Brooklyn school system,
fifth graders,
and it's being shown here as part of the sustainability series. It's completely free.
Okay, and it's exciting to watch that film, they tell me.
Yes, and we're going to have this posted on our Athens Rethink Plastics Facebook page, all the upcoming events. So please get on the Facebook page and take a look at what we're doing.
So Facebook, Athens Plastics.
Yes, we have four videos of our work.
I saw somewhere something about WOUB or OU film people did something.
Yes, the videography students did four videos of the politics, the policy, the bag making, the businesses, and also an overview of Athens Rethink Plastic. Very short videos to watch, and they're excellent.
Melena Miller and Melanie Smith are guests today, and we're going to do one more show, right, down the road? I think
that Rural Action is going to be doing, or Athens Rethink Plastics, here in the next couple of weeks,
Okay. Well, folks, that's our topic today, and we hope you've learned some stuff. And tomorrow,
tomorrow is going to be the
Rocky Community Improvement. No. Let's see here. No, AFAN's our topic tomorrow. The Athens Friends and Neighbors or Newcomers, whichever it is, that's tomorrow. And otherwise, let's see here. I'm trying to read. Oh, James Tisco and Cindy Royce will be here to talk about AFAN. And they have a lot of subgroups that are cool, too. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you like knitting, you can do that or whatever.
Movies.
Yeah. Okay, folks, we want you to be safe out there. And right now, 77. Well, let me update this real quick. I think I have a moment. 79. We've gained two more in the last 10 minutes. And once again, it's going to top out around
84. In our 73rd year of serving Southeast Ohio, AM 970.